Good morning, Redeemer. Can everyone hear me in the back row? I'm Jim Hilliard, one of your elders, and I want to welcome all of the members and your guests to our service this morning, as well as all of you that are viewing it online. We thank you for being a part of our special Easter Sunday service. It's a glorious day, not just for us, but for Christians all over the world, because he is risen. Well, let's do that one more time, because all believers everywhere respond, he has risen indeed. Thank you. Before I go to the announcements, I would like to just make a personal note. I want to thank all of you that for your thoughts and prayers during my recovery. I'm just delighted that I know so many people that God pays special attention to, because his healing power has done wonders for me. But thank you. Now, for the announcements, there are really four items that I want to bring to your attention that they're all listed in the bulletin, and so you can take that home with you to review it and to add it to your calendar, but I'll just touch on them briefly. The first one is our ABF fellowship that is on Sunday mornings, every Sunday morning at 9:30 in room 120. In the on the first floor of the educational wing at, I think I said 9:30. And right now, Don Ryan, another of our elders, is doing a class on the Book of Ruth, and he has really just started it with an overview, and he told me this morning that next week he will start with chapter 1. So you've, other than the overview, if you haven't been there, you'll get the full benefit of Don's lesson. The second is listed as Women of Worth. I've known it through Beth as the WOW Bible study. She told me this morning that it is now Women of the Word. So I take it, just call it WOW. They are having their last spring meeting on Tuesday the 11th. And that'll be a devotional with Catherine Martin, Bunko, and Food. So the third event is the regular Redeemer family dinner on Wednesday, May the 3rd, 5:30 p.m. to 7 in the Fellowship Hall. And I don't know what the planned program is for that, but I'm sure it will be something interesting. The last event is the Christ-Centered Men's, or the CCM's, breakfast that is one Saturday, or the first Saturday of the month, and the next one is on Saturday, May the 6th, at 8 to 9:30 in the Fellowship Hall. And this will be a special meeting. Dr. Reg Grant, who is the department chair and senior professor of media arts and worship at Dallas Theological Seminary. And if you look at his bio, he seems like he's a pretty interesting guy. He's not only a teacher, professor, he's also a published author, and it says that he has also been involved in, well, of course, teaching, writing books, production, acting for radio, television, theater, and film. So he will probably be a very interesting guy, but I would urge you to add these items to your calendar, and I hope that you can attend. That concludes the announcements. Would you all please join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we are eternally thankful for your many, many blessings. Thank you for your sacrifice on the cross and your resurrection from the tomb. God, I pray that this truth becomes alive in every person's heart today. As we gather together as family and friends, we invite you once again into our lives. The resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, has given us new life and renewed hope as we rejoice in your triumphant victory over death. May the grace and peace of your Son, Jesus Christ, be with us all of us today. May your love be shared by all of us as we enjoy this gift of fellowship. Lord, thank you for your wisdom and truth that we find in your word. May we remember to share the grace and forgiveness that you have so freely shared with us. And Father, thank you for this miracle of life, an abundant, productive, and healthy life here on earth, and eternal life with you in heaven. Help us celebrate that life every day as we seek you and follow your plan for each of us. These things we ask in Christ's name. Amen.
All right. Good morning, everybody. Happy Resurrection Sunday. There's some faces out there I haven't seen yet, so thank you guys for showing up this morning. My name's Alex. I'm new here, but I just wanted to take a moment and say thank you guys so much, Redeemer, for welcoming me with open arms. The comments and the support that I've been given from many people has been great, and I just wanted to say thank you. It's been a very positive experience so far, and I hope that it has been for y'all as well. But with that said, thank you guys being here. Any guests that are here, welcome. We are going to begin worship together, so if y'all would please stand.
Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. Your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show. And break every chain, oh God. You have done great things. We dance in your freedom, awake and alive. Oh, done great things. You've been faithful through every storm. You'll be faithful forevermore. And I know you will do it again, for your promise is yes and amen. You will do great things. God, you do great things. Oh, hero of heaven, you conquered the grave. You free every captive and break every chain. Done great things. We dance in your freedom, awakened alive. Oh, Jesus, our Savior, your name lifted high. Oh, God, you have done great things. Sing hallelujah. Hallelujah, God, above it all. Unshakable, hallelujah, you have done great things. Hallelujah, God, above it all. Hallelujah, God, unshakable. Hallelujah, you have done great things. You've done great things. Conquered the grave, you free every captive and break every chain. Oh God, you have done great things. We dance in your freedom, awakened alive. Oh Jesus, our Savior, your name lifted high. Oh God, you have done great things. You've done. You have done great.
Turn to your neighbor and say, hi, how you doing? Love to see it. I love to see it. All right, everybody. If y'all would, go ahead and make your way back to your seats. We are going to read a little bit from Matthew before we begin or continue worship together. John?
Please remain standing as we read from God's Word. The Gospel writers present the resurrection appearances of Christ from four different perspectives. This morning we're reading Matthew's account of the resurrection of our Savior, Matthew 28. Early on Sunday morning, as the new day was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went out to visit the tomb. Suddenly, there was an earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled away the stone from the tomb, and sat on it. His face shone like lightning, and his clothing was as white as snow. The guards shook with fear when they saw him, and they fell into a dead faint. Then the angel spoke to the women. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I know you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here. He's risen, just like he said would happen. Come, see where his body was lying. And now, go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and he's going ahead of you to Galilee. You'll see him there. Remember what I've told you." The women ran quickly from the tomb. They were very frightened, but also filled with great joy, and they rushed to give the disciples the angel's message. And as they went, Jesus met them and greeted them, and they ran to him, grasped his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said, "Don't be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to leave for Galilee, and they'll see me there." This is God's precious word.
Continue to stand as we continue worship together.
Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is he. Sing a new song to him who sits on heaven's mercy seat.
Sing that again. Worthy.
Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is he. Sing a new song to him who sits on heaven's mercy seat.
Everyone sing holy, holy.
Holy. Holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation rising, praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Holy, holy, holy. sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Filled with wonder, awestruck wonder, at the mention of your name. Jesus, your name is power. Yours is the kingdom, and yours is the glory. Yours is the name above all names. What a powerful name it is. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is. Nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. You have no rival. You have no equal. Now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom. Yours is the glory. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is. Nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. Paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left the crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find thy power in thine alone can change. The leper's spots and melt the heart of stone. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Throne, I stand in him complete. Jesus died my soul to save. My lips shall still repeat. Jesus paid. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. And Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. He washed it white as snow. He washed it white as snow.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Thank you, Jesus, that you did come down to earth, that you took on the form of a man while still being fully God. You embraced everything that it is to be a man, and you endured, and you lived a perfect, sinless life, and you died on that cross to cover our sins. Father, we can never be grateful enough for the way that you love us. And even today in this room, Lord, we just want to proclaim that you are our Lord, you are our Savior, and we are here, and we are listening, and we are willing. Lord, I pray that we would open our hearts to receive anything you have for us on this beautiful Easter morning. In your name, Christ, I pray. Amen. Amen.
This is Jesus.
Good job.
Born into poverty in an insignificant corner of a conquered nation. This is Jesus, a traveling preacher, a homeless outcast, called crazy and possessed. This is Jesus, another hopeless rebel, mocked and beaten, hung on a cross to die. This is Jesus, another lifeless body, stuffed into a borrowed tomb, soon to be forgotten. Is this really Jesus? Wake up. Wake up, O sleeper, and rise from the dead. This is Jesus, sent by the Father to be crushed for the sins of the world. This is Jesus, declaring to all he would be killed and then raised to life on the third day. This is Jesus, healing the sick, casting out demons, raising the dead. This is Jesus, a missing body from an empty tomb on a Sunday morning. This is Jesus, the image of invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, the Lamb of God, the light of the world. This is Jesus, Savior, Lord, King, Alpha, Omega, Creator, Redeemer, Friend to sinners, Hope of nations, the Messiah. This is Jesus, the resurrection and the life for all who trust in him. Wake up. Wake up, O sleeper, and rise from the dead. This is Jesus.
That video kind of wakes you up, doesn't it? It's just got that powerful music playing, and the message is so powerful. It kind of wakes you up in the morning, and that's something good for us to have even here in this morning. And we're going to talk a little bit about Jesus today. I'm going to present a time period from Jesus' life that it was going to be very interesting, I think, for you. And when we talk about waking up in the morning, I don't know how you are, but I am very dependent on my cup of coffee. Cups. I like to say cup because it sounds better, but it's actually cups of coffee in the morning. I don't know how you are, but that's the way I am. And a couple of years ago, I got up and I kind of stumbled into the kitchen, and I started making the coffee. I poured the water in the coffee machine, put the paper filter in, and closed it up, and started the coffee maker. And I don't know how you are, but the way I am is that's just the 2 or 3 minutes of sleep, more sleep I can get. So I go back to the couch and I sit there for a little while. I'm just sitting there. And I'm like, okay, that's long enough. So I get up and I go to the coffee maker, and I have found myself brewing a perfectly good cup of hot water. And so it's like the moment of shame. I have to pour the water down the drain, refill it, put beans in this time, and then go back, catch another couple of minutes of sleep, and then go back and get my pot of coffee. And it's that moment of that frustration of like going to a coffee pot and expecting there to be coffee and there's none there. And this morning I want to use that imagery and I want to give you a sense or I want to use that illustration throughout the sermon. I want you to understand that there are people who look at the church and they either go to a church or they look at the churches that they know or whatever or that have been in their past or that are down the road from them. They look at a church and they go to the pot of coffee and they're finding only hot water. And so the question that is going on in their mind is, where's the beans? Like where is the part of what the church is doing that makes the water turn from water into coffee? Where's the beans? And this morning I want to pose that question to you. Who is the beans? Like who are the coffee beans and the coffee maker of the church? And this morning what we're going to do is we're going to look at this meeting between Jesus and his disciples. As Don read this morning, he went through two occasions where he met with people and he said, hey, meet me in Galilee. And so what we're going to study, this passage that we're going to look at this morning, is that time period where Jesus meets with his disciples in Galilee and he tells them something. And as we walk through this section, you're going to see who is the beans. Who are the beans in the cup of coffee of the church? Who are the beans supposed to be? So if you have your Bibles, I'd invite you to turn with me to the book of Matthew. And we're in the last chapter of Matthew, Matthew chapter 28. And where Don read about the resurrection and the meeting of the two different meetings that were recorded in Matthew. And so now we're going to read about the disciples have made their way to Galilee to meet with Jesus, this meeting that he asked them to have. And we're going to find that in verse 16 all the way through verse 20. And along the way, as we look at this meeting and as the narration of how this meeting went about, we're going to see how Jesus intends to use the church to make coffee, if you will. You'll follow me. If you follow me with this illustration, it'll make a lot more sense as we move along. The first thing that Jesus points out to the 11 disciples is that he has supreme authority in heaven. Jesus communicates to them that he has supreme authority in heaven. Look with me at verse 16. Then the 11 disciples left for Galilee, going to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. Verse 17. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some of them doubted. And then the first part of verse 18. Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven. What's Jesus talking about here? He's made a point to say, hey, meet me in Galilee. And so they've met him here in Galilee, and he has a message for them. And what is this message here? Verse 16, it says, then the 11 disciples, so you'll remember if you've heard it often, there was usually 12 disciples. Well, one's gone. Judas has hung himself at this point in the story. So now there's only 11 left. So the 11 disciples leave for Galilee. They're following what Jesus told them to do. Jesus said, hey, tell the disciples to come meet me in Galilee. He asked someone to tell them this, give them this message. They gave him the message, and they met him in Galilee. And here's why it's so important that Galilee is mentioned here, is because Galilee is an obscure, kind of neglected place. And the people of Galilee are not that big of a deal. They're outcasts in many ways. And so Jesus, he started his ministry in Galilee, and he's going to finish his earthly ministry here in Galilee again. And Galilee is very, very important to the story. And so Jesus tells the disciples, come meet me in Galilee. They do that, and going to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. Again, their obedience, they're following through on what Jesus asked them to do. And it's verse 17 says, when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some of them doubted. When they saw him, now for some of them, this was the first time they had actually seen Jesus raised from the dead. He was in a bodily form. He was right there. It wasn't a spirit. It wasn't an image. It wasn't a 3D hologram. Jesus was actually there. And for some of them, this is the first time that they had an opportunity to see him. So they saw him. When they met him, they worshiped him. They ascribed honor to him. They ascribed worship to Jesus because they realized who he was. He was truly, fully God, and they worshiped him. But then that part of the verse, it has that really weird statement there. It says, but some of them doubted. And you know, people have had a heyday with this through the years. Like, how do you worship somebody and then doubt? And I think likely what's going on here is not that they doubted Jesus, and they saw him here in the flesh. You know, they got a message from some people who said, hey, meet me in Galilee. They show up in Galilee, and boom, there he is. So I don't think they doubted Jesus was there. They could touch him. They could feel him. They could see him. They didn't doubt Jesus. Most likely what they doubted is, now what? You know, because up to this point in their lives of their discipleship with what Jesus had taught them and everything he had said to them, they were kind of expecting things to go one way. And then when Jesus was crucified, that wasn't exactly what they thought was going to happen. But now here Jesus is alive again, and they're kind of like, okay, now what? Like, what's the plan? Where do we go from here? What's the next step? And in a lot of respects, there was a sense of uncertainty about what was going on, and that uncertainty was kind of a paralyzing respect for them. It was a kind of a paralyzing influence on them. And so it says that some of them doubted, like, okay, what's the next plan? And Jesus answers that doubt in verse 18. Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven. Jesus came to them and he said, I'm real, I am alive, and I have been given all authority in heaven. That's a little bit strange to hear that because Jesus is fully God, so he had all authority. He's always had all authority. But what Jesus is doing is beginning to get their attention on the fact, and he's saying, I'm about to give you something that I want you to do, and I want you to understand all of heaven is backing me up on this. I have all of the heavenly resources that I need to make this happen. Whatever I'm going to ask you to do, whatever I'm going to tell you to do, I've got heaven as my backup. Angels, not a problem. I can put them on the scene if I need to. Whatever I need to do, what Jesus is saying, whatever I need to do, I have heaven backup. All of the resources of heaven are behind me. And so Jesus is telling them, I know some of you are doubting, I know some of you aren't sure about this, but all of heaven is under my authority now. I can do whatever I need done. And that aspect of what Jesus is saying there becomes important as we move forward in this story because Jesus is saying, what I'm going to have you do, heaven is going to back us up. What this mission is, what we wanted to do. The illustration of coffee that coffee pot is really helpful here. And I want you to begin to visualize that if you think of a coffee pot, Jesus is saying here is that I have the ability to heat up the water. Jesus is saying is that I'm going to be the one, I have the cosmic authority to heat up the water of the coffee pot. And that's the role that Jesus is going to play in the coffee pot of the church. He's going to sit the role of heating up the water. Now, modern coffee pots generally will heat up the water to about 200 to 205 degrees. That's their role. That's their job. They heat up the water to that amount of temperature. And the idea is once the water comes in contact with the coffee beans, that's the perfect temperature for coffee to be produced. And so what the coffee pot does is it heats up that water to that temperature. And in a way, this is what Jesus is saying here to the disciples. Listen, guys, I have all authority to motivate people into a relationship with me. I have all authority to do that. I have the angels at my disposal. I have everything that I can do. I have all authority to motivate people. And so as we work through this, I just want you to think right now. I want you to grasp in your mind that Jesus has the power. Jesus has the authority to motivate people into a relationship with him. Jesus has the ability, he has the resources to cause people to be curious about spiritual things, to have spiritual questions, to wonder about their destiny. Jesus has the ability to motivate people into a place of spiritually questioning what is going on. He has that power. He has that authority. But then he goes on, he says, not only do I have all heavenly authority, then he says, I have all earthly authority as well. Read with me again, verse 18. Then the 11 disciples left for Galilee, going to the mountain where Jesus told them go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And verse 18, Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Jesus says, I have been given all authority in heaven, but I've also been given all authority on earth. And in the same way as what he said about heaven, he's saying about earth. Saying, I have all earthly resources that I need because I have all authority. I have supreme authority over what is going on in the earth. Now, it's often difficult for us because we're like, man, Jesus, if you have all authority, why don't you stop some things? And that's an element of that authority that we don't always understand why Jesus chooses to do the things that he does. If a tornado is coming down and it's moving, Jesus technically has the authority to stop the tornado, but he also has the authority to let the tornado run its course. And as much as we don't like that aspect, especially if we're the ones standing in front of the tornado, we don't like that. But we have to understand that what Jesus is saying here to the disciples, I have the authority to do whatever I need to do. I'm not necessarily saying I'm going to do what's going to make your life easier, but I have all authority over what is going on in the earth. If we go back to that illustration of the coffee pot, Jesus has all authority to motivate people to want to know spiritual things. He also has all authority to be able to move them circumstantially into position, just like a coffee maker would do. A coffee heats up the water and then it transports it over to the filter. And Jesus has the authority to circumstantially move in the lives of the people around us to motivate them, to not only motivate them, but to put them in a position to hear spiritual truth. Jesus has that authority over all. And so the thing that I want you to begin to think through is that Jesus is working in the lives of people around us. Jesus is working all over the place. There are people maybe that you are here this morning and you are here circumstantially because the Lord has been working in your life to push you into church Sunday morning. But maybe there are people that are looking online at different places. Jesus has the authority to move circumstantially in people's life, to put them in a position where they are in touch with the church. But who are the beans? Oh, good job, Siri. Who are the beans? Who are the beans? Jesus is up to this point said, I have all authority in heaven, I have all authority on earth, but who are the beans? Look with me at verse 19. Jesus tells his disciples, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Verse 20, teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Therefore, Jesus is that the word in verse 19, therefore, is a conjunction that says, because of what has happened before, therefore, this is what I want you to do. Because I have all authority on heaven, because I have all authority on earth, therefore, go and make disciples. The disciples understood that because how Jesus had interacted with them, because how Jesus had influenced them, they were supposed to take that same influence and go influence other people in the same way. In the same way that their hot water had been poured over the beans of Jesus and Jesus influenced them, they were then supposed to go and do that same thing in the lives of the people around them. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. We don't have time to talk about this, but the concept of the disciples going to all the nations was radical. In this culture and in this time, that's just not something you would do. And so Jesus telling them that he wanted them to do that was radical. That definitely caught their attention. He says, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, a normal part of what it would be to become a believer. Teach these new disciples, in verse 20, teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. So Jesus is telling these disciples to go and make disciples. Coffee, just like your coffee, make coffee out of them. And in the process of doing so, make sure that they get baptized. Make sure that they learn the things that I've taught you to do. And then he concludes with a promise. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Jesus is saying, I have supreme authority over everything that's going on in heaven. All of the resources of heaven are at my disposal. I have supreme authority over everything that's going on in the earth. I have all of the earth's resources at my disposal. What I need you to do is go make disciples. And I want you to know that I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. Gives them that comforting promise. So we look at this coffee maker, this imaginary coffee maker that I've been talking about. I want you to see that Jesus is saying, as I have the ability, I have the power, I have the supernatural resources to be able to motivate people to question what's going on in their lives, to think through, like, this is what I think I believe. Is that really true? To wonder about their eternal destiny. Where am I going to spend eternity? Jesus has the power to motivate people to do that. Jesus also has the power to move them into contact with the church, whether it's circumstantially or just a gentle emotional nudge or whatever it is. Jesus has the power to do that. But then he asks his disciples this one thing. What I need you to do is I need you to make disciples of those people when they get here. When you get into contact with them, when I've brought those people around you, that hot water around you, I need you to interact with them, influence them in such a way that they fall down into the pot and they become coffee. And that's the challenge for us this morning. The challenge for us is that we need to be people who are in a position to interact. We don't have to bring people into the pot. We don't necessarily have to make people come into the pot. We don't have to motivate them to have spiritual questions. But when we come in contact with them, we just have to influence them. We just have to talk to them. We just have to try to answer their questions as best as we can. We just have to be an influence on them. And that's who the beans are. The beans are people who have an intimate relationship with God through Christ. And for whatever reason, Jesus has chosen the church to be the vehicle to bring people into that spot where they can be influenced by the people that are there, by the people that come, and they can turn into a beautiful pot of coffee. So my challenge to you this morning is this. Be the bean. Be the bean. There's a decision that you have to make. Unfortunately, in all of the areas of this, there's always a decision that has to be made. When the Lord motivates someone into our lives, when somebody is near us and is asking us questions or we're talking to them, we have a decision to make. Are we going to be an influence? Are we going to open ourselves up to them in a conversation? Or are we going to keep talking about the Cowboys and the weather and how bad the traffic was coming in here this morning? That's the challenge. And unfortunately, what happens most of the time, not necessarily with us, but across the country, what happens is when people have legitimate spiritual questions, they're searching. And a lot of times they stumble into a church and they sit in the pew and people talk to them about how great the weather is today. And people are talking about how their brand new car that they just bought is so wonderful. And both people leave. And what it ends up results is a big old pot of hot water. So I'm challenging you as we've walked through this passage. Jesus was very clear with the disciples. Go, make disciples. He told them to do that. And I'm challenging you to become a person. If you have an intimate relationship with God through Christ, I'm challenging you to have spiritual conversations with the people around you here at church. Just talk to them. You have no idea why someone might be here. There's no way of knowing. And I'm going to make it as easy as possible. Here's the question. How's your brew? If you want to start having spiritual conversations with the people that are around you, just ask them, how's your brew? Now, this is such an ingenious question. Here's why. Because if the person was not here this morning and they didn't hear anything about what I talked about, they're going to be like, what are you talking about? What do you mean? What are you talking about? What's my brew? And you would say, oh, well, our pastor had this sermon and he talked about, I'm supposed to have a conversation with you about how's your brew, but I'm really asking you, how is your relationship with God? It's a perfect setup. Now, if you're here and you're going to ask that question, you can ask that question of someone who was here and did hear it, and then you can both laugh and be like, yeah, that Pastor Forrest, he's got some crazy ideas. But I do want to actually have a conversation with you. How is your walk with Christ going? How are you doing in an intimate relationship with God? That's the challenge for us this morning. The practical aspect of it is just ask people, how's your brew? How's your brew? Very simple question, but it's a launching into a deeper conversation about really how their relationship with God is going and how your relationship with God is going and how you can be an influence on each other. So this morning, I challenge you, going forward, ask people around you, how's your brew? It'll be a wonderful springboard into a conversation about how your relationship with God is going at that moment. If you're here this morning and you may have come into this service this morning, you may have come in this morning and you may have come in because your circumstances or you were motivated because of things that are going on in your life, and you really have some questions here this morning. Like wondering, like, you know, I'm not sure about this and I'm not sure about this, and you've got some spiritual questions. After the service, I'll be up front. I'll be more than happy to answer any of your questions. There's a ton of people that'd be available to talk to you. We'd love to talk to you about it. Any of the questions that you have or any of the things that you're worried about, if you need someone to pray with you, there'll certainly be someone up here up front who'd be willing to pray with you. But if you're here this morning and you are not sure, if you walked into the doors here this morning and you are here because you have questions, come see me, because I really would love to have the opportunity to answer those for you. But if you are here this morning and you have an intimate relationship with God through Christ, my challenge to you, to each of you, is be the beans. Be a person who is in this sanctuary looking for people who you can help in their walk wherever they're at. Be the bean. This point in the service, now we transition to a time of communion. And this is an opportunity for us to remember what Christ did on the cross for us so that we could have an intimate relationship with God. If you didn't receive one of these communion cups on your way in, just raise your hand and we have some guys in the back that'll be more than happy to bring one to you. But this is, it's been termed the Lord's table. And what the Lord's table means is that, or the reason that we use that terminology is because the Lord's table means that this, what we're doing here is not our table. It's not something that you have to be a member of Redeemer in order to participate in. You can be, as long as you have an intimate relationship with God through Christ, you're welcome to participate. If you're at that part in your journey where you don't have an intimate relationship with God, what we're about to do won't make any sense, because we're going to celebrate. We're going to remember the time when Jesus willfully allowed himself to be beaten and bruised and whipped and eventually crucified. And his body was broken for us. He spilt the cup, and we spilt his blood. to make it possible for us to have an intimate relationship with God, even though we've sinned. The sacrifice covers those sins. And so this is the Lord's table is a way for us to remember what Christ did for us. And if you're not at that place in your life where you've come to that place where you understand that that's your relationship with God through Christ, this isn't going to make a lot of sense to you. So it's probably better to let this time pass. We start off with the wafer. And in 1 Corinthians we read, "For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread and he broke it. And he said, 'This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup. And he said, "This cup is the new covenant between God and his people. It's an agreement that's confirmed by my blood." Jesus was later that night to spill his blood. And that blood secured the opportunity for forgiveness. And he said, "Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And then he concluded, "For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again."
Let's stand and sing one more time before we leave. Paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. Let's sing it again. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. He washed it white as snow. He washed it white as snow.
Now all glory to God who is able, according to his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than all we might ask or think. All glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. See you next week.